Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So today I was out at the practice field watching Cam Ward for the first time. Cam Ward looked fine. He had a throw that I thought was a really nice throw on the sideline to Elik Iomanner. He had a bunch of completions. He had a ball that hit James Prochet in the hands that he didn't catch. He had one that was a pass breakup by Gabe Judy-Lally that I thought would have been called interference in a game. He had one play where the pocket broke down, and he tried to kind of out-juke guys and try to make a move, and he threw a ball in the middle of the field, and it got batted down by some, you know, Scarbini linebacker. It probably gets intercepted in a real game, which wasn't great. But for the most part, Cam Ward looked fine. Quick release, solid arm, didn't look super special. That's okay on the first day. Didn't look bad either. And then there was Will Levis. And Will Levis met with the media, I believe, for the first time today since Will Levis and the Titans had picked Cam Ward in the draft. And we know what happened this offseason. The Titans fired the general manager. The head coach is on thin ice. The Titans spent the entire offseason telegraphing to the world that they were going to draft Cam Ward with the number one pick. They did it, and we know that Will Levis essentially got demoted. Now, Will Levis, for his part, after having been benched last year, went out to California to work with Jordan Palmer. And I'm here to tell you that in one OTA practice where they weren't wearing pads, where they didn't really do a whole lot, there wasn't really anything I saw from Will Levis that looked really good, and there wasn't really anything that looked really bad. But the difference between Cam Ward and Will Levis at this point in time is that I'm not sure I really care anymore about Will Levis. I don't know why the Titans were so persistent this offseason in claiming that they weren't shopping Will Levis. There was a rumor that came out around the combine that the Titans had been shopping Will Levis. Chad Brinker talked to Jim Wyatt on Titan Stationery and said, "We are not shopping Will Levis. We want everybody to know that." The Titans said before the draft that they had not shopped Will Levis. The Titans said after the draft that they had not shopped Will Levis. I don't understand what their grand plan is for Will Levis, but it doesn't matter to me because one guy plays quarterback in the NFL. This isn't like running back where you can have a room by committee. Even when Chris Johnson was the premier go-to back for the Tennessee Titans, they still had Lindale White scoring a bunch of goal line touchdowns. Even when they had Derrick Henry, they still relied on guys like Dontrell Hilliard and Jeremy McNichols to be the counterpunch to Henry. We know that you have at least two receivers, sometimes normally three. You can rotate your tight ends in and out. You don't rotate out the quarterback. And I think the other thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand, but that I believe, is that if Cam Ward is not the starting quarterback, if Cam Ward is not the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, then I believe it's going to be Brandon Allen, who got the first-team reps today. Will Levis, as far as the 2025 Titans are concerned, I don't think he's really a factor. And I know quarterback is always something people want to talk about, and Levis, very polarizing figure, although most people, I think, are of the belief that he probably sucks. But I'm not sure Will Levis matters. Like, when it comes to talking about what is really important for the Titans, and I am aware of how this works, right? In talk radio, it's always about the stars. It's always about the coach. It's always about the quarterback. In hockey, the goalie is a big part of the discussion, no matter what. We never have breakdowns on this show about third-line players on the Predators because it's not that important. Again, I don't care who the assistant general manager is. I care who the general manager is, so on and so forth. But at the same time, while understanding that Levis is a major character in all of this, he's just at this point in time not that important. Because I believe that Cam Ward is not competing for the starting job. Cam Ward is working, and the Titans are going to decide if playing him right away, starting him as the quarterback, would be beneficial or could hurt him. That will decide what they do with Ward. And if Ward's not the guy, I think by Brandon Allen getting the first reps today, that tells me the Titans view this as Brandon Allen as the second quarterback on this team. And again, I know they've been insistent on saying they're not trading Levis. I know they've been insistent on saying he's a young player and they want to develop him. And they have been very staunch in this narrative, or whatever you want to call it, that there's a real competition at quarterback. And that has led people to believe that it is Ward versus Levis. And I'm here to tell you, I don't think it is. Will Levis can do whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants. The Titans can say whatever they want. You can believe whatever you want. But I think the whole Will Levis thing, I think it's kind of over. And I'm a little surprised that the Titans haven't moved Will Levis. Because no matter what, as long as he's on the team, it's going to be a talking point. If he plays in the preseason game, instead of Tim Boyle. But it's Cam Ward goes out there and gets two series and now he's done. Brandon Allen goes out there and he gets a quarter and now he's done. And so with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, in comes Levis. And then Levis finishes out the game. Well, it's going to be a more interesting preseason game. And we're all going to have opinions about it. We're all going to talk about it. But again, I don't think he's actually going to play football for the Titans in the real games this upcoming season. So I'm here to tell you that you can ask me, you know, what did you think of Levis? How did he look? I thought Levis looked fine. I mean, again, going over my notes, Levis was very clearly today in the pecking order. And I know Brian Callahan has said, oh, it doesn't matter who, when the guys go and what the rep count is. And it doesn't. Yes, it does. Levis threw a check down to somebody named Bernard, number 32. Threw a bullet over the middle to James Prochet. I wrote that was a good throw. Complete over the middle to Restrepo. Levis threw an incomplete pass to number 86 and then came right out, and Brandon Allen went back in there. And Levis threw a nice pass, completed to Jaquan Jackson, and then ended practice throwing an interception. But this time last year, Will Levis was what Cam Ward is now. He was the star. That was his opportunity. Regardless of why, that was his opportunity. He blew it. And now he has to wait for another opportunity. And when will that come? I don't know. I do know this. The cream rises to the top in the National Football League. So if Levis has improved out in California with Jordan Palmer, and if Levis is still going to have a good career, at some point, he may have to wait a while, but at some point it will happen. It happened for Steve Young, who had to wait a while after the disastrous period in Tampa before he got an opportunity in San Francisco. It's happened for Geno Smith, who did not work out with the Jets, was a backup in San Diego, a backup in New York with the Giants, and later a backup in Seattle before getting a shot and is now a starter. But not with this team. Not this year. So we'll keep an eye on Levis because, again, you know, quarterback, it's fun. And it should make the preseason games more interesting to watch Will Levis out there in the third and fourth quarter of these games than if they put Tim Boyle out there. And Tim Boyle, I watched him. He sucked. It should be more fun with Levis. But as far as, you know, Will Levis playing for the Tennessee Titans, Will Levis developing for the Tennessee Titans, that ship has sailed. That's over. And so maybe he sits on the bench and there's an injury and he comes in and but it's not very likely. Again, I'm more worried about the guys who are actually going to play on the team this year. Like, who's going to play corner opposite Jarvis Brownlee Jr.? Who's going to rush the passer this year? Who's going to play guard? Not having talks about the third quarterback, because this time last year, he was the flavor of the month and was the world's greatest mayo pitchman. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on that, plus what Levis had to say after practice today. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, haven't been a backup in a while. I don't plan on shifting my mindset at all, regardless of what the situation is. So I'm just going to be ready to play the quarterback that run. My name's Will.
That was Will Levis saying, hey, I'm not shifting my mindset here. It's been a long time since I've been the backup. And I got to tell you, somebody texted me and said, Jared, Will Levis, he's going to be the starter this year. I don't think Will Levis, based off the reps today, I don't think Will Levis is the backup quarterback right now. I think Brandon Allen is the backup quarterback. And I think the Titans are preparing for, hey, if we're not comfortable with Cam ready to go week one at Denver, or if Cam's not, because the Titans have only said it about 100 times, if we're not comfortable putting Cam out there, or Cam's not ready to go, or we want to bring Cam along slowly, I think it's going to be Brandon Allen, who is the starting quarterback of this football team, instead of Will Levis. You know, I said to somebody today, I said, if the cartel held your family hostage, and we know how ruthless the cartel can be, but if the cartel held your family hostage, and if the cartel said that, hey, we're gonna do something about this if you don't win this game, and the choice was Levis or Brandon Allen at quarterback, I think you got a better shot to win the game with Brandon Allen than you do with Will Levis. And I would not be surprised if Brian Callahan felt the same way, simply because maybe he can get Brandon Allen to do what he tells him to do, whereas last year he tried to get Will Levis to do what he told him to do the whole year, and there was really nothing that he would do. I also think it's funny, Levis is like, yeah, I was working the whole time, but last year sucked, and I had everything thrown at me, and okay, Levis. Phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Texter says, they will trade Will Levis. They want to show him during the preseason in hopes that he shows enough promise to make someone interested in him. They will hype his progress to the moon and tell everybody how much they love him. Then he'll be traded when they drum up interest. I've seen dumber things happen. And I also don't think the Titans are the smartest organization in the league. But I'd be shocked if the Titans, even if Levis has a good preseason, I'd be shocked if the Titans were able to get anything in return that was better than the Joe Milton package. Remember, New England traded a Joe Milton, who was a sixth-round pick, and a seventh to Dallas for a fifth for Joe Milton. That's probably the going rate for Levis. And Levis was a better prospect, obviously, coming out than Joe Milton. But Levis got an opportunity last year, was an absolute failure. Whereas Joe Milton got one opportunity last year and actually looked pretty good. I'd be shocked, no matter how he plays during the preseason, I would be stunned if they got anything more than a fifth for him. One texter says, Jared, if Levis is here by the time the preseason starts, they will have to play him to advertise his current skills to sell him, giving other teams more than just last year's tape on him. Again, I wouldn't doubt the idea that the Titans are trying to change the narrative around Levis and will try to use the preseason to do that. But I think that's just a bunch of wasted time and a bunch of wasted reps. Because, for instance, today, Levis, I don't know exactly how many reps he got, but Levis got a lot of reps. Well, if you just want to get rid of Levis, and you do get rid of Levis, then those reps would go more to Brandon Allen or would go more to Cam Ward, and I'd rather have those guys getting the reps because they're more likely to play during the year than Will Levis. Now, I will say this. Tim Boyle got some reps, and Tim Boyle has no shot to make this team. So maybe they just say, hey, we need X amount of throws to come from the fourth quarterback and X amount of throws throughout camp in the preseason to come from the third quarterback. And so that's what we'll give to Levis, and that's what we'll give to Boyle. and then that would be fine. We're not really taking reps away from Allen or taking reps away from Ward, but I don't think it's as, you know, serious as we're going to pump Levis up this offseason. He's going to light it up in training camp, and then we're going to turn around and trade him and get a third. Again, Jerry Jones has done some dumb things. A fourth for Trey Lance, who I think might have thrown three passes for Dallas over that time. Maybe that, fine. But I just don't see that happening with Levis. One texter says, nobody could play behind last year's offensive line, Jared. I agree with that. And I still think that Levis may have a career. If Will Levis were to ask me for advice, and I don't think he would, he probably should, but I don't think he would. I told this last year when I sat down with him at the Super Bowl, and I said, I could feel how anxious he was just sitting down with him after that ping pong event at the Super Bowl. I could just feel how tight he was, like how wound tight he was inside, to the point that, like, I know a 24-year-old with anxiety when I see it, and I wanted to be like, dude, it's legal here in Vegas. Let's go tackle some gummies. Chill you out a little bit. You know, Levis needs to be loosened up a little bit. And I don't think that's going to happen. That would have been my advice last year. My advice this year is this. Just keep working and go out there, and when you get an opportunity, play. And the better you play, the more likely you'll be to get an opportunity. If Malik could leave here and get an opportunity, you'll get an opportunity too. So go take advantage of it when you get it. But it's probably not going to happen this year. One texter says, Levis will have about a 25% chance of being the scout team quarterback or maybe even a safety on the scout team defense. I mean, I think Levis right now, again, the Titans keep saying we're not interested in trading him. I don't know what that really means, but I believe that as of right now, Cam Ward is the starting quarterback, or is going to be the starting quarterback at some point fairly early in the season. Brandon Allen's the backup. Tim Boyle is here as the fourth arm. I think eventually Tim Boyle's going to be a coach, and maybe a coach for this team. I don't know. And then I think when it comes to Levis, like, I don't really know what he's here for, but all he can do is what they ask him to do. Now, we have seen Houston has done this where they drafted C.J. Stroud and they kept Davis Mills. And Davis Mills was the backup, but Case Keenum was there too. Maybe that's something the Titans are thinking out, but I don't know how big of a deal I think that is. One texter says, I'm a Niners fan and Brandon Allen sucks. He is a backup for a reason, but he isn't stupid with the football. Ding, 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 ding. So Will Levis sucks, and he is stupid with the football. So if the cartel held your family and you had to win the game, would you rather have Brandon Allen out there or Will Levis out there? And to the point of this texter, he isn't stupid with the football. That leads me to believe that the Titans would rather have Brandon Allen out there than Will Levis. Even though when Callahan said that, oh, no, we're going to do all of this and we're going to, that really people thought that meant Ward versus Levis. And I'm thinking, no, it means Ward versus Ward. If Ward shows he's ready, Ward plays. If Ward shows that he's not ready, Brandon Allen plays. And then Cam Ward will play. And they'll probably work Cam Ward in there some, even when Brandon Allen is the quarterback. But I don't think this is about Levis. One Dexter says, Levis is a trade piece. They've devoted their souls to Cam Ward. Farms bought, planting crops. I'd say Levis has very likely improved. I personally think he could develop into a decent starter. The Titans can't develop quarterbacks. He regressed under Callahan, along with pretty much every other player on the team. I'm looking forward to seeing Levis and where he ends up. Levis fans need to quit clinging to him possibly starting or backing up here. His best interest is to go somewhere like the Steelers that are quarterback starved with a great head coach. If we have faith in him, let him go elsewhere and expose the Titans and Callahan. It's also the best business move right now. I support Ward now as well. I am a Levis fan, and I understand that the Titans are going to Titan. So let me ask you this question. Do you really think Levis is going to be good somewhere else? Again, Cartel has your family. Do you really think he's going to be good somewhere else? I don't. 615-737-1025. Fitz will join us next. His reaction, Stillman and Company. 1025-1063. The game this week's best deal is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenational.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. 1025, the game is your racing station. Tune in this weekend for all the NASCAR races at the Nashville Super Speedway on the game. Presented by Green Trees. Friday, the Rackley Roofing 200 at 7. Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 6:30. And Sunday, the big one, the Cracker Barrel 400 at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Joined now by Jason Fitz, Jason Fitz, Fox Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports, joining us now on the program. Fitz, I was at practice today. It was an OTA for the Titans. Cam Ward was out there. He did not wow me, though he didn't do anything crazy either. I know it's only an OTA. How long in this process is it fair to go before Cam Ward needs to knock people's socks off?
That's a really good question, because I want those flashes quick. I'm going to be honest. Like, the thing of it is, we have to approach this with some level of balance. If somebody came out and was just terrible at OTAs, I think that's worth talking about. If somebody comes out and they're spectacular at OTAs, I do think that's worth talking about. If they're just okay, it makes me a little bit nervous through the process of it. Like, I think there's sort of a gradual growth process here. And look, I've been square with you that I think Cam needs time to develop into what I hope eventually becomes a superstar quarterback for him. But you got to see flashes quick where it's like, man, that throw, the way the ball has left his hand on that, the way he did this, like, those things should start to separate themselves, I think, fairly quickly. I don't think OTAs is the time, but man, like, you don't want to get 2 weeks into training camp and it's still just like, oh, you know, it's fine, it's whatever. Like, you got to see the flashes from your number one overall pick.
Fitz, how long in this process do we need to go? Like, Brandon Allen took the first team reps today, and Brian Callahan said, don't read into it. Guys are going to move around, everything else. How long on the process should it go before Cam Ward should be taking the first team reps? And what do you make of Brandon Allen kind of getting the first reps today?
Yeah, I think it's stupid. I mean, honestly, I think the thing that your quarterback needs right now is reps, and the thing that your quarterback needs is to get familiar with everything. And I just don't think that there's any value in having anybody not named Cam Ward take these snaps. Now, we had a disagreement on Cam Ward this week on Inside Coverage on Yahoo Sports, because, you know, Charles Robinson is a believer that, hey, there's something to winning something. Go out there and win the job. And you know, fine, if that's the logic you want to take. But I don't know. To me, the minute you take somebody number one overall to be your future, your franchise, your starting quarterback, we all know he's going to get the job anyway. Like, does anyone really believe there's a chance that if he were to be outplayed by Will Levis, that Will Levis is going to get to start this year? The answer is no. So if you're going to have a facade of a competition anyway, which is all it really is, then get your guy out on the field and let him take his reps from day one. I don't think you can give Cam Ward enough chances right now to touch the football. So every single time somebody else is touching the football, my real question is, why? Like, it's just that short-term, long-term, none of that helps with the only thing that matters. And I would argue that, like, I personally don't think – I honestly don't give a damn if the Titans win three games this year. As long as Cam Ward looks like he is him, that is all that matters. So knowing that, I don't need anybody else taking any snaps.
The ESPN FPI rankings are out for the 2025 season. The Tennessee Titans are not last, Fitz. That belongs to the New Orleans Saints at minus 5.2. The Titans are 31st at minus 5.0. What do you make of that? You know ESPN and their analytics. You used to work there. 31st in the FPI at minus 5.0. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just echoes the sentiment that a lot of people have when I talk to them about the Titans. Like, people don't feel like the roster is just all that great, you know? So what you have is a roster that's sort of meh with the coaching staff that hasn't really proven themselves. And it's like, look, I get why everybody right now, if you can't be hopeful about your football team today, what the hell chance do you have? You know, so if I'm a Titans fan, I want to feel hopeful today. If I'm just an analyst looking at it, yeah, I think the Saints have the worst situation in the NFL this year. I think there's an opportunity for plenty of teams to be really bad. I think they're going to be, just like last year, there are going to be several teams that win 3, 4, 5 games. I think there's a lot of bad teams in the league. But if right now, if you're just looking at the roster, like if you were the analogy I say to everybody, if you were not a fan and you walked up today and you picked up Madden, how many people are going to pick up Madden and then be like, oh, I want to be the Titans, that roster, that play, like, who's that guy that everybody wants to play with? I think it's oversimplification, but this roster's okay. And it's going to take a couple of years to get to where they want to be. That's, again, why I think, you know, the analytics have no bias from ESPN. That's just where their numbers come out. But I think it speaks to, again, why if the Titans win 4 games this year, a lot of people won't be surprised. But if they win 4 games, then my God, Cam Ward looks like a world beater, then everything's going to feel just fine going into the offseason, because it's going to take more than 1 year to turn this team around.
Is it even possible to win 4 games and Cam Ward to look like a world beater?
That's a good question. I think it would take a lot of other things breaking the wrong way, you know? And so, yeah, I think that's tougher than ever. And if we're being honest, nothing can change the fact that the last 2 years we've seen a quarterback just absolutely change the franchise so quickly, in Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud before that, that I'm not sure the world's particularly patient anymore, to a fault. I think we can all agree on that. So, you know, certainly, yeah, if the record is really 4-13, I think most people will be looking at year one of Cam kind of like they looked at year one of Bryce Young or year one of Caleb Williams and saying, oh, God, we got a problem. We got to figure out a way to do better.
Jason Fitz is with us on the program. So there was a story at ESPN, your former employer, about the great Mike Vrabel. And it talked about how Vrabel wasted no time in assembling his staff. And the thing that was important to Vrabel was loyalty. According to the ESPN story, quote, of his 28 assistants, 11 previously worked under him in Tennessee, most notably first-time defensive coordinator Terrell Williams, vice president of football operation and strategy John Stretch Stryker, and director of sports performance Frank Pirano. Vrabel focused on, according to ESPN, trust, loyalty, and those he believed would be committed to his plan on his coaching staff. I ask you this question. Because the problem around here at the end with Vrabel was his loyalty to his coaching staff. How much of a red flag is that for you? Because everybody seems to be red hot when it comes to the Patriots this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are currently, as we sit, the most overhyped team of the year coming into this one. And this article that you referenced, I saw it, and the loyalty thing bothered me because I think that at some point, coaches need to be pushed a little bit. Like, you need somebody that's not just going to be a yes man. You need people that are going to push your thought process a little bit. And I think, frankly, once the Titans got bad under Mike Vrabel, right or wrong, the national consensus became it was everybody else's fault. I don't know that I've seen a coach walk out of a situation as unscathed as Vrabel came out from the mindset of so many from the Titans, and the fact that they had success without him now only feeds more people saying, well, look, I mean, what an idiotic move getting rid of Mike Vrabel. I think we do have to remember that while there were moments that Vrabel brilliantly made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, I mean, I think he did a nice job at times in that job. I do think it's fair to question the end, the last couple of seasons of it, and I think it is fair to question he came out of a power struggle. Like, no matter how we want to shape anything, he came out of a power struggle. So now all of a sudden there is absolutely no power struggle. He has full autonomy. He has absolute creative control. I just, man, I don't know. It makes me a little bit nervous. And this presumption that, you know, suddenly Vrabel walks in the door and everything's going to be fine and turned around. The fact that the Patriots were favorites in 11 of their games, according to Vegas, it's stunning. I still think the Patriots have a roster with some holes in it. They spent a ton of money, and we all know that when you spend a ton of money, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They're all going to be learning new stuff. You got, frankly, you know, Drake May is going to be learning Josh McDaniels' offense, which is notoriously difficult for quarterbacks to learn. Like, I just, all, even the verbiage is really hard for guys to pick up. So all of this screams to me that there's going to be bumps in the road for the first half of the season. I think they'll be a better team by the back half, but I personally would be stunned if the Patriots meet the expectations they have right now. Like, if the Patriots win 7 games, I think that's a big step forward. Congratulations. And that's about where they feel to me.
So apparently Stephon Diggs was not at today's voluntary OTAs. A video came out of him on a boat in which he was partying with a bunch of women and was flashed an unidentified pink substance. Mike Vrabel today stressed the importance of decision-making. What's the deal with Diggs? You know, Diggs, not loved in Minnesota, shown the door, not loved in the end in Buffalo, not brought back in Houston. He's paid a bunch of money in New England. They put out a video and hyped up how big of a deal this was, and now he's on a boat with the pink substance. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that Stephon Diggs is a pain in the butt. And, like, look at the personalities. Like, at the end of the day, he walked all over Kirk Cousins when you talk to people around the Vikings organization. Okay, maybe Kirk just allows that to happen. Then he gets to Buffalo, and he walks all over Josh Allen. And, okay, you know, and then he gets to Houston, and he walks all over C.J. Stroud. I just don't know why, if I got a young quarterback in Drake May, I'm trying to get to blow up. I know you need weapons around him. I might want a weapon around him that is not the type of personality that Stephon Diggs is. Like, I cannot find people that know those situations that have positive things to say about the way he communicated with his coaches and his quarterbacks. And I just don't understand why I would bring that into the locker room. These are the sorts of things, like, I think coaching ego believes, hey, we're going to get a talented player and we'll be able to fix him. But, man, again, like, he was kicked out, essentially, of stable situations in the Vikings and the Bills. Those are two organizations that have their you-know-what together. And then, I mean, for the Texans, with all the injuries they dealt with at the end of the year and all the needs they have at wide receiver in general, they trusted in the draft rather than even look at Stephon Diggs. So I think that there's something to that. I don't think the Vikings, the Bills, and the Houston Texans suddenly became idiots. I just think Stephon Diggs is a pain in the butt that's not worth it. The juice ain't worth the squeeze.
Last one for you. Jason Fitz is our guest on the program. Mason Rudolph is getting the first team reps with the Steelers. I watched Mason Rudolph last year, as did everybody else here. He absolutely blows. I think most people believe Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but what is taking so long?
Yeah, I can't get a good answer on that. And, you know, C-Rob mentioned on our show this week that he believes that the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers already have a bit of an understanding. They have sort of a concept. They know what's going on, and that's the only way you could justify it in your mind, I think. But, man, I don't know. And, I mean, if we're being honest, okay, so let's say Aaron Rodgers comes back, and let's say even that he's playing at the same level that he played at in December of last year, although I would question how much work he's been putting in on all that stuff while he's been on his media tour. But either way, let's say that he plays the way he played last year in December. I still think, even with that effective December he had for the Jets, where he had his offensive coordinator of choice and his weapons that he knew incredibly well, if you take that same level of, like, okay, play and ability, this version of Aaron Rodgers is the third best quarterback in his own division. Like, I mean, so what do the Steelers think is going to break here? Like, the Jets, the Steelers going all in on this. And I would argue that the Jets last year had a better roster than the Steelers going to have this year. And what did that get the Jets? Nothing. Like, so even if Aaron Rodgers comes in, I think the problem, the mistake here everybody's making is they're talking about Aaron Rodgers for his body of work, not Aaron Rodgers who he is today. And I just, Aaron Rodgers who he is today is not going to make the Steelers better than the Ravens. It's not going to make the Steelers better offensively than the Bengals. Like, if the Bengals can get even a fraction of a clue of how to play any defense this year, then both of those teams are going to absolutely run over the Steelers. The Steelers are going to go all in on this one-year sort of attempts to get Aaron Rodgers to get them to relevance. I don't think it's going to work, but they're not going to lose enough games to get the top quarterback next year in the draft. They're stuck in quarterback purgatory. Like, I think the Steelers are constantly a 9-win team because they can't get a quarterback that actually can compete in the modern AFC.
Jason Fitz, as always on our program. Fitz, great stuff. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great week.
Yep, Jason Fitz here on the show. Hey, tune into 102.5 The Game this Friday for your NCAA baseball regional coverage as the number one seeded Vanderbilt Commodores take on fourth seeded Wright State at Hawkins Field Friday, May 30th. First pitch approximately 5:00 Central. Coverage will also be on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We will be live out at Vanderbilt on Friday for that. Stillman and Company coming up next. Speaking of the Steelers, a Steelers legend has made a statement. And I gotta say, I don't totally disagree with it. We'll get to it next. I'm gonna company 125 The Game.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you gonna bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me?
I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
go somewhere and
chew on bark and, and whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
Hold on.
Roger, that was supposed to be something.
There you go. Dan Hampton, do you agree with that bad move that they go with Rodgers for the Steelers?
He is not a guy you'd want for a neighbor, but here in Chicago, I watched him for 15 years make play after play to win football games. And from what I understand, Aaron Rodgers' agent is basically telling the league it's just a matter of time. Aaron's kind of cleaning up some personal matters. He is going to be a part of the Steelers. Now, whether you like it or not, to me, I heard the same thing, Dan.
I just don't want to believe
it. As a mercenary player, you know, you could see him in Arizona or Tampa or something like that.
Well, I hope the first thing he cleans up is his damn attitude.
Yeah, Dan. Hey, Dan.
There you go. That was Terry Bradshaw. I don't know. Reed, do you have any idea who that was on the phone that was in that? That was on 103.7 The Buzz in Pittsburgh on their morning show, the Morning Mayhem show.
I just have a hard time believing there's someone in Pittsburgh with that accent. You don't even have that accent on the radio here in Nashville, Tennessee. That is, man, that's from way back in the sticks.
Terry Bradshaw, you know, I've been around Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a good man.
He's a jerk. I don't like him.
I mean, he goes out there, and he lied about the COVID vaccine, Terry Bradshaw, and I don't know what to do. Anyway, let me say this. I don't understand what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers either. But I've always said this. When you're an all-time great for a team, what you say matters. And I know Terry Bradshaw has said things over the years that have irked the Steelers. You know, he said a couple of years ago that Mike Tomlin wasn't really a coach. He was more of a cheerleader. And that pissed off Tomlin pretty bad. And Tomlin made the joke that he was a Hollywood Henderson fan. But at the same time, here's the thing I guess I just don't get. Aaron Rodgers is coming to a new team that runs a similar offense to what he ran in Green Bay, because we know Arthur Smith is the head coach and Matt LaFleur and Arthur Smith work together. So we know that that shouldn't be the end of the world. But there's new receivers. DK Metcalf is going to be out there. He's never thrown to him, you know, as far as on the same team. He's going to have to move to Pittsburgh during the season to get acclimated and all of that. And I understand waiting until the draft. You know, okay, let me make sure that you don't draft a quarterback to take my spot. But what are they doing now? Just waiting on Aaron Rodgers. At some point, if you're the Steelers, do you not tell Aaron Rodgers, brother, get here today. You're the quarterback. This isn't Green Bay, where he's been with the same team and the same routine for 20 years. You need to be here. What are we doing? And I keep thinking about this. I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is done or not. There was a report that came out that said that the Vikings had reached out to Ryan Tannehill about potentially being the starting quarterback there. The backup quarterback there to J.J. McCarthy. If I'm the Steelers, at what point do I say, because all the good quarterbacks are gone. You can't get a quarterback in free agency other than Rodgers, who everybody thinks you can't draft a quarterback. If I'm the Steelers, at what point do I just go, okay, fine, let's just go sign Ryan Tannehill? The mandatory minicamp? The start of training camp? Like, when, if you're the Steelers? This is a proud organization. It's not like Aaron had a bunch of choices, by the way, as to where he wanted to go. He had a couple. When do you, do something about it? Or do you have to do something about it? Or do you just say, you know what? We're all going to be all in on Aaron, And whatever ends up happening happens, and we'll go from there. Because I just struggle with the idea of my team being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers just got fired from his last job. They flew him out to New York to tell him they were firing him, which is pretty crazy. Tom says he thinks it might have been Dan Hampton from the Chicago Bears in the 80s. You know, look, I'm not here to tell sports people, you know, what to do or not to do, and I'm not stupid enough to think that only people listen to sports radio and only listen to this show. But at the same time, I'm kind of wondering, like, if you're the Brew at the Zoo crew or whatever it is, that morning mayhem show on that Pittsburgh station, why is Terry Bradshaw going on that station? Like, why is Terry Bradshaw not going on the sports station? And Dan Hampton, why would they not be going on the sports station? Whatever. That's their business, not mine. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. Coming up next, there were some absences today at Titans voluntary OTAs. And normally I'm not sure I'd care. But there's a specific reason that I care about these absences. We'll get to that next. Stoneman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.